so we're... Okay, I was wondering where it was at. I see that we are now live on Facebook. Good evening, everybody out there in Chester County and on my Facebook page. I'm telling you, this is a moment that I have been waiting for. And before it's all over, you're going to know just why. Hello, coming to you live on City Town Talk is none other than me, Brother Fonz. And I want to say top of the evening to y'all. Now look, before we get into the meat and the potatoes and all that gravy, there's some things that we got to do now. My viewers and my listeners out there, y'all know the drill. Just get on here. Let's share this video. First of all, we want to get it in here. Because what we want to do, we want to open this thing up so for all the people that may have... may have questions or comments, they'll have the opportunity to tune in and just hit it up with none other than Dr. Pastor, and there's a couple other titles, Mr. Larry Anderson, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, wait a minute, let me turn this music down. I know I'm cool with my little theme song, but check this out. Most of y'all know me. Whenever I get on here with a guest, because they're all special, I get hyped and I get excited. I don't pretend like it's just like a, like it ain't nothing. Man, it be something. So look, all y'all out there, ooh, we got 10 viewers already. Okay, that's what Kathy Smith, top of the evening to you, Sister Barbara Marshall, Kay Jordan, E.J. Johnson. It is so good to see you this evening. And Donna Rogan from NAACP has just checked in. Pastor Eric Williams from Jersey has checked in, because I appreciated that award you sent me. God bless you. Hey, look, man, don't y'all go nowhere. I don't care how long we talk. It's worth every minute of it, because I'm telling you, this gentleman, I don't want to say everything before I do the bio. I want to be so formatically correct, if that's a word. Hey, Doc, I wonder if that's a word, formatically. But tonight's show is being brought to you by I3 Strategies. Miss Ann Cunningham, a black woman who attends New Life, but she's also the founder and managing partner of I3 Strategies. And I'm going to just tell you just a quick sentence what she does, because she's not chopped liver. Just like this gentleman right here is not chopped liver, Ann Cunningham ain't chopped liver. So I'm going to tell you what she does and her company that she founded. I3 Strategy Partners helps pharmaceutical companies study their most pressing business challenge or question and crack the code on what strategies will work uniquely to unlock the full potential of their brand or organization. See, what happens is when they launch a product like Lilly and people like that, if it comes under 200 million, 300 million, they know they done messed up. So who do they call? Not Ghostbusters. They call Ann Cunningham and her partnership. And they go in and break that thing down and find out where they went wrong and all that other good stuff. And being around her makes my head hurt. I'm going to tell you the truth, man. She's got a graduate from Yale, Michigan MBA. I'll be like, can you just move over a little bit? You're making my head hurt. Tina Matson, it's good to see you. David Durnell, Carmen Green from City Council, Claudia T. Palmer, New Life in Christ has just checked in. Look, I'm going to read a short bio, right? Because like, look, the doctor sent me a bio and he said, here's a mini bio. It read like the yellow pages, man. I started reading all that stuff. I'm like, man, it's 45 minutes. It's 45 minutes to an hour. That's all I got, because that's all I got. But we're going to tell you a little bit about him, because I'm so excited. Thank you. Thank you, David. Yvette checked in. Hey, Doc, every once in a while, we're going to reach out and say hi to the people out there, so that'll keep them coming. I don't want them to think I'm ignoring them.
All right, because they're killing me, saying they're trying to get in, so I'm getting a whole bunch of texts.
Okay, let's see. Is there anything that I can do to help?
They said there's music. Is there music playing? Is no delay, right?
No, well, the music is off right now. It's like that. But if they ask them to go to Fonz Nuswan's page, F-O-N-Z, N-E-W-S-U-A-N, and see if they can, because that's how you've been jumping in, right? Because me,
right, yeah.
Tell them to give it a try, because look, I'm home. I don't have no time limit on this. Sister
ahead, Roberta, man. I'm with you.
And Sister Roberta is good. Like, if you're going to hang with me, we're going to make this thing happen. K. Jordan Martin, one of my future guests. Hey, Pastor Eric Williams, we're going to Zoom out there with you too, man. We're going to get you on City Town Talk, because I know you got stuff to say. Come on now. Hey, EJ, I thank you for your viewership, your loyalty, and for sharing. Oh, wait a minute. While we're doing that, because we're trying to connect with his church out there in Philly. Because that's right. He's from Philadelphia. So you know he's rough and raw, right?
Easy, 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 easy.
Hey, Kathy, do me a favor. You know the drill, right? Kathy, Sister Barbara, I love it when you like these videos, but it's better if you share them. Because we, you know, this is our way of like spreading knowledge throughout the community. So hit the share button. Kay, hit the share button. Pastor Eric, because I know you're going to do it. Evelyn always does it. Donna Rowland, hit share and stop playing. Claudia T. Palmer, stop trying to beat me at Word with Friends. Matter of fact, she is beating me. Hit the share button. Carmen Green, you know the drill. Big David Durnell, Tina Max, and Yvette. Could y'all share this, please, and stop playing? I want to look like I know people. I want to be viral. Don't y'all want to be viral? Levi Bo Worthington. That's right. First time home buyer, Levi. It was good you apologizing on social media the other day, man. You humbled yourself. That's real good, man. You got to watch your mouth. Stop playing so much. Edith, Sister Edith Ben is on the set. Bam. See, I hit all my seniors, man. I wasn't playing. Plus, she my deaconess. I gotta make sure she's down. How about you on your end? Are people kind of like seeing what you're saying or sending?
Yeah, they're getting it now. Yep.
Nova Myers, it's good to see you, Pastor Clarence Smith. Pastor Rob Marshall's out there somewhere too. Hey, shout outs. Hey, you heard it. Shout out straight from the doc. Look, I'm gonna read his bio, right? I'm gonna read the mini bio, not the whole one. Okay. Dr. Anderson graduated from Philadelphia Biblical University with a BS in Bible. And you know back in the day what BS stood for, but not now. He got a BS in Bible with an emphasis in Christian leadership. He has received his Master of Divinity and his doctorate in ministry degrees from Biblical Theological Seminary. Dr. Anderson became the senior pastor of Great Commission Church in September 2004. Dr. Anderson was the first African-American professor to serve on the faculty of Biblical Theological Seminary. And it said it's now Missio, okay. Mm-hmm. Dr. Anderson established the Urban MD, I guess that's Divinity Program, and also served as director of both the doctoral and her, man, I'm feeling smart already. I feel like I know something. I'm messing around and start spouting a couple of scriptures or something. You better stop, man. John 3:16 is about as good as it gets. But no, that's besides the point. He is the director of Healthy Churches, overseeing 350 churches throughout Pennsylvania and South Jersey. His primary role is to assess the overall health of a church and walk alongside them to fulfill their calling in God's kingdom. That's deep, man. That's deep. Because an unhealthy church can mess some stuff up.
Amen.
Hey, man. People be thinking about your tonsils and if you got a fever. No. All right, now, we're going to bring it on home with the bio. Dr. Anderson serves as a board chairman for Community Forgiveness and Restoration, an initiative designed to battle against recidivism. Now, for those of you who ain't never been to jail, you may not know what recidivism is, but Brother Fonz has been on an occasion or two, and recidivism, man, is something we want to combat. Ain't that right there, Doc?
Amen.
The chairman of Community Ethics and Justice Coalition, an initiative to move the BRN from racial reconciliation to racial restoration. Man, I'm getting ready to cry up in there. I got chills all in my arm reading this stuff. Dr. Anderson, now here's where I come in at. Dr. Anderson is a co-author of the book, Ask Me Why I'm Not in Church. Dang, you see my shirt?
Dang. Oh, represent.
See my book? Anybody playing with nobody? Okay. All right. Ask Me Why I'm Not in Church, released in June 2019 on West Bow Press. In November 2020, Dr. Anderson was elected the national president of the State Director of Evangelism for the Southern Baptist Convention. Dr. Anderson serves on Health Equity Advisory Committee for the Philadelphia Health Department to ensure equal health care for all communities. Dr. Anderson also serves as the chaplain of his chapter of the Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Dr. Anderson has dedicated his life to becoming a workman approved by God who can correctly handle the word of truth. That's 2 Timothy, the second chapter and 15th verse. Look, that's some stuff there, but check this out. You know where I kind of like read that stuff a lot of times? I want them to know you don't have chopped liver sitting up in here and you're worthy to be listened to. You understand?
Okay, because we said we wasn't going to read that. I thought we had made that.
And psych.
All right.
Woo! Hey, look, okay, so now, hey, all my viewers now, I'm meeting y'all. We got Pastor Smith, Dr. Marshall, Pastor Rob, he said it's good to see you. Marcus Morales, Pastor, Dr., State Representative Dan K. Williams said, that's my dude there. See, that's why I love him. Like, every once in a while, he come out with that Southwest Philly type. Like, Donald Anderson, it's good to see you. And, hey, Donald, don't forget to hit the share button to Marcus. Okay, now I'm going to try and be, I don't have to be grammatically correct, but I want to be formatically correct. That's okay, let me see. All right, I did that. Okay, now, Doc, why don't you just say a few words, greet your viewers out there, and we're going to get this party started. What you think?
Well, I just want to thank you for having me on, man. It's a blessing to be here. It's always good to connect with you. You got so much fire and energy, and thank you for the platform that you give folks like me and others, man, that you find value in us and believe that we can have a greater purpose for our audience. So just send a shout out to my family, my biological family, my church family, my extended family, my job family, my CFR family. I got family, the bros. I don't even know. So send a shout out to everybody watching. Appreciate the love. Appreciate y'all tuning in.
And now I'm part of your family because you know me and you go at it on Facebook about them sports and stuff, man. We're going to talk about your passion about that too.
We do.
That's another reason why I love it. Okay, now wait a minute. All right. I just want, our new life, we took a trip down to Dr. Anderson's workshop. Asked me why I'm not in church. You know, I was hard pressed. I wasn't a part of the Engage ministry in the beginning. But first of all, I thought, man, I'm already engaged. Man, I'm out there all the time, man. I don't need to go down there. But I am so glad I humbled myself and realized, man, I ain't all that in a bag of chips. Man, you need to get down there and always be willing to learn something new. And I had it was informative, but I had an opportunity to act like Fonz outside because, you know, my wife locks me up in the basement. I don't come out often. It was fantastic. I enjoyed myself. I enjoyed the men, the women. It was great, and it was very informative. And we're going to talk about how you can get that book and be a part of that, too. Let me see now. That's all I had to say about me. Now, just tell us a little bit about your family, Doc.
Well, my wife is Kim, and she's watching. I got three kids. My oldest is, my kids will be 28 this year. My middle boy, Darius, he is 21. Yeah, 21 or 22. Then I got a baby girl, Gabrielle. I keep saying she's 13 when she's really 15. You know, so, you know, that's the one that make me carry legally, but, you know.
Yeah. Hey, look, Sister Valerie has checked in. You know we got a
Sister Val.
Yeah, we owe to the First Lady a new life.
Absolutely.
All right, okay, look. I want to get this out the way before we get into the real serious stuff, man. Kind of like, let's talk sports just for a little bit.
Okay.
All right. We're not going to hold on to sports long, Michael Rayner. It's good to see you. Okay. Can we win with Jalen Hurts? What's your thoughts?
Well, let me put on my sports hat here. You know, I believe that yes! Jalen is a good quarterback. He's a bruh, so, you know, he come from good stock with that ability to perseverance. We took him in the second round. He showed us some flashes. Mm-hmm. I like to see us give him a try as opposed to using our first round draft pick on the quarterback. The fact that we used the second rounder last year for that, I'd rather give him an opportunity to see if he can play. So I think we have a young enough team. I don't think we championship bound this year. So I think we got an opportunity to really give him a good look before we use our number one draft pick on another quarterback, which is what the rumors is right now.
Y'all don't be thinking pastors know nothing about sports. You think all they know is scripture, man. This man here is deep into it. Wait a minute. Okay, now, we're going to ask one more question. Hey, Akeisha checked in from, I want to say you either North Carolina or Virginia. Akeisha, good to see you. Dr. Shea Barnes, the youngest doctorate out there. I forget your college. I don't know if it was Virginia Union, whichever one it was, Dr. Shea. But you all that in the bag of chips. Appreciate you checking in. And let's see. We're going to get to asking why he's not in church in a couple minutes. Now, we just want to ask about the Sixers. Can the Sixers win with their present roster?
Well, I mean, I think the good news is Ben and Joel are playing their best basketball at the same time. Yeah. And so they're working. So I think Doc has definitely came in and lit a fire up under them. Tobias is playing well right now. I'm liking what Curry is coming back after injury doing. Still not sold on Danny Green. I'm hearing some trade talk about acquiring Kyle Lowry. I don't know if that's true, but, you know, he's a North Philadelphia native with a whole lot of heart, you know. So I believe that if that we have the best opportunity this year that we've had in many years in order to compete. I think this may be a year that we can actually compete. And we should, at the minimum, get to the Eastern Conference Championship. But I have not seen a team in the East yet besides Brooklyn who makes me think, like, wow, you know, this is going to be a seven-game series.
Good stuff, good stuff. Okay, that's it for the sports. Now, let me see. Hey, look, everybody within the sound of my voice, take your finger over to your phone or your computer and hit that button that says S-H-A-R-E because your job's not done until you do that. See, we be talking about how can we minister to those out there, but right now you can't because you're in your house. But if you hit the share button, somebody might hear something tonight that'll change their life. So stop playing. This is your opportunity. Don't make me have to come out there for you. And I can tell who's sharing because it tells me at the end, bunch of shares. Let's do that. Now, let me see. Now, we want to get on the serious side.
Okay.
Last year or the year before last, you chronicled your challenge when you contracted cancer. I guess that's the word you would use, contracted. Let's talk about that a little bit, man. How did that make you feel? What did you do? How did you get through it? Talk to us about that.
Well, you know, cancer was a dark day. For me to be diagnosed with that. It was prostate cancer, just to be exact. My numbers, PSA numbers were rising. Good thing that my doctor was very diligent in being on it. Once he seen it rise from just 1.0 to 2.0 in 1 year, he felt, hey, let's get a look at this. Let's go get some further tests. And we continued to look for it. So it was 4 years. We were looking for it and trying to find something before it finally reared itself. As prostate cancer, man. And so in 2018, I had surgery to remove it. I walked for 2 years thinking I was good, only till January of last year. I realized when I went back thinking I'm celebrating 2 years, they say they have returned. And so I had to go through radiation in 2020. I had to go through 35 treatments of that to deal with it. And I was more discouraged the second time than I was the first time. The first time I just wanted to get it, find it, so we can fight it. I thought we fought it, I thought we defeated it, but when it came back, that second time I was kind of floored. And I decided to do the Chronicles because I wanted to be supported. I didn't want it to be a secret. I wanted to be in prayer, but I needed to be held accountable of the fight. Because the first time I was ready to fight and I was prepared to fight. The second time I wasn't prepared. Because I didn't think it was coming back. And so during the Cancer Chronicles, which we did, my son became a part of it because he was videotaping me every day on a tread, getting ready because you got to build your energy up. My family got together and we said prayer together every morning. We had a scripture. I had 35 scriptures that I put in a bag. And every day we would draw a scripture from the bag to bring me through the valley, man. And we just walked that thing out and we did it publicly. So many people came out and shared with me that they had it, but they never shared it. They did it in quiet. They didn't do it with a support system. So many others since then have told me they went and got themselves checked because of it. And so, you know, the Lord has called me to participate in this plan of saving lives. And you know, yes, that's a spiritual thing, but if you're dead, I can't save you. You know what I mean? I can't lead you, you know, to Christ. And so, you know, helping somebody live and being forthright and honest about the battle that I'm going through, my hope was that I could not only be encouraged, but ultimately encourage somebody else as they go through their journey, man. What could have been, you know, say what the enemy meant for bad ended up being good because there are so many men who have contacted me and told me they got checked because of that and they no longer suffer in silence, man.
Man, in other words, mission accomplished, man. I'm serious, man. I was on that journey with you, man. I'm like, man, it had me look at myself, had me getting checked, my blood work, prostate, and all that other kind of stuff. I'm thankful for you, man, because you'd have kept a secret. I might have kept a secret. Or I might not have checked. I might have just been kept walking around like I'm okay.
Yeah, but several said that, man, to God be the glory that I had the and that's that no film, but that courage just to speak out and put myself on Front Street in order to hopefully bless somebody else, man.
So I guess what he's saying, for me to paraphrase it, transparency is a beautiful thing in our walk with the Lord and everything else. That's just coming from a lame like myself.
Amen. Know that.
Okay, now we're gonna start talking about your transition from the lovely suburbs of Montgomery County, where the living was easy, summertime, y'all drinking mint juleps, whatever it is you do out there in the suburbs of Montgomery County, decided to come to Philadelphia, and that takes something. So let me ask you a question. What made you want to move your church to Philly?
Well, it was 2007. And much like it is this year, and it was last year, the murder rate being extremely high, Michael Nutter running for mayor, on the news, they counting people by bodies. Number 124 got killed this morning, you know, number 272 got killed this morning, and people became numbers versus names. Mm-hmm. And the people who was getting killed looked like me, the people who was doing the killing looked like me, and I'm from 25th and Allegheny, and I'm up here in the suburbs, and I'm sitting there like, yo, what are we supposed to do about our city that's dying, that's killing one another? You know, there was this idea when you're in the hood, like your ultimate goal is to get out the hood. Get out. If you can get out, then you don't survive. But the problem with that is you get out and you leave everybody else behind, you know? And I felt a level of conviction, you know, much like Nehemiah. What's the report from the hood? Yo, it's burnt down, you know, cats is dying in the street. What you gonna do about it? And so going back into the city was a call of God and me and my church, and specifically my men. We walked through the book of Nehemiah and we went in the city. We was doing some prayer walks in the city, but we would come back to the suburbs where it was comfortable and we would park and continue to do all like, oh, that was a nice prayer walk. But that became not enough. I mean, I was speaking at playgrounds and doing gun drives and a whole bunch of stuff, but it kept me in a dip in and a dip out. And ultimately that dipping in and dipping out was not satisfying the burning passion that the Lord had put in my heart and ultimately put in my congregation heart to get up and go move, pack up, leave Montgomery County and go up into West O'Blain to do some ministry.
Good stuff. Let me give some special people a shout out. My main man, Jaber Dillard, man, who has suffered. He had so many body parts replaced. He's like the $6 million man. And I mean, Jaber, I love you, man. I'm thankful that you could check in this evening. Kendra Wilson, thank you for making it. I know Kendra just leaving her Bible study, unless you snuck out. I don't know. But Kendra helped me set up my banking account because she is top notch at the Prosper Bank. Kendra, I appreciate all your customer service today and your viewership. As I promised, I got Dr. Anderson talking about why he's not in church. Now, so now the next thing, was your congregation afraid? How did they feel about that when you came with this vision?
Well, what little did I know, you know, because it was all a move of God, man, that I had been preaching this missional hermeneutic, and I have been talking to my church about the practical implications of what the word was telling us. And so by the time I got to that point with saying, hey, I think the Lord is calling me to the city, my congregation, like, he calling you, he calling all of us. And so we took a vote. Do we go in the city? And the vote was unanimous. Unanimous. And my pastor, Hal Hopkins, you know, said to me, hey, look here, man, write this down. You may never get another unanimous vote for as long as you pastor. He said, but if you got a unanimous vote on folks getting up and going in the city, that got to only be a work of the Lord. And sure enough, man, so they were fully on board to get up and go into the city. Now, My mother-in-law, she probably watching, but you know, her biggest concern was, is this dude taking us to North Philly? Like, you know, so folks know I'm from North. So they wanted to know, like, are we going from Montgomery County to North Philly? You know, but you know, being sensitive, not just to the Lord's leading me to the city, but also understanding who I'm pastoring, I knew it was only but so far they were willing to go. And us going into West Oak Lane, we prayer walked that community. We prayer walked where we thought the Lord would want us to be. And you know, before we even walked in the doors and got a seat warm, there was a killing right around the corner. So we got chalk outline and teddy bears on the corner where we at. So it wasn't sweet. It wasn't North Philly, but it was up in North Philly, be clear. You know, it's up in North Philly. And but I took them as far as I thought they would be willing to go. But yes, they did come. And yes, there was fear. You know, you have folks showing up early who normally show up late because they want to park as close to the church as they can. You got clubs coming out on cars. I didn't even know they still had clubs. But, you know, cats was locking their cars up and things like that. And, you know, so, yeah, it was, believe it or not, you know, I think, you know, some people think that we're all Black people are the same, all Black people are homolectic. But when you get a upper middle class community and you move into another area, you'll see Black folks can be scared of Black folks too. You know, we you know, there's an uncomfortableness when you done move. You got people who moved out to the suburbs to get out of the hood. The point was to cross Cheltenham Avenue. Exactly. And now I'm telling them, hey, no, we're going back on the other side in order to love on people. But man, I got to say, I love my church, man. I love the body. They are so open and sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord when it came to doing ministry. So it was so much bigger than where we were as they adopted the idea that we got to repair the broken walls, man.
Good stuff. All right, so now, okay, now you're in Philly. Now you talked about the murders. Was there any other big challenges that you thought that you needed to undertake when you moved there?
Well, yeah, there was murders. There was truancy. There was so much dropping out of school, teenage pregnancy. There were those who were returning to the community who had been incarcerated and terrorizing the community. There were many challenges that we came down and we had to, you know, what we call exegete the community. And we did that by not just walking around and praying, but we looked at the stats, the crime stats, we looked at the educational stats, we looked at the census, and then we talked to people and asked them, what are the biggest voids? What are the biggest challenges in this community? So that we knew how to come in and how to begin loving on them and doing what was needed in order to be a blessing. We didn't come in there to take up parking spots. We didn't come in there just because we thought we could get more people to come to church. We literally went and we even raised money like this, that we're going on a full term mission trip into the city of Philadelphia. You know, not a short term, but a long term mission trip. And so we came down looking at our building as a sending agency. So yeah, we're going to meet here on Sundays. We're going to do some worship. But the goal is to have a place, a light for this community, to love on this community.
Mm, good stuff, good stuff. I'd be remiss if I didn't say good evening to my cousin, Alberta Nuswan, has just checked in. Hey, Alberta, it's good to see you. Hang in there. For those of you who came in late, tonight's guest is Dr. Anderson. He went from the Montgomery to the hood because he said, why am I still in church? We're going to talk more about this. I am so excited. Now, let me see. What is my next question? Okay. So how did your church, okay, you're in a new environment. You don't have all the answers. So how did your church deal with the uncertainty of the mission and what to do next and that whole thing, for lack of a better word?
Well, we taught. Which you attended a seminar on Ask Me Why I'm Not in Church. But what we did, we taught, you know, what was the call? The Great Commission is really not about how many people you can get in the building. It's about who you send out the building and what you send them out with, you know? And so equipping a church, and most folks who come to church who fall in love with the Lord, they're not satisfied with just doing church on Sunday. You know, once you buy into, I actually am the church and it's not the building, and you buy into, I've been called, I've been saved, and now as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. You know, when we buy into the Word of God and start getting involved with the mission of God, that the church was excited. They want to know what's next. How are we going to handle this? How are we going to do this? And so, you know, our job, you know, me and a shout out to my assistant pastor, Pastor Kenny, you know, and my co-author, you know, our job was to equip them with as much information as much skills and practicality and how to love on a community as possible. And so it was really about the training. It was about the equipping. We never, you know, planned in the beginning for this to be a book. It was years after we had already been implementing this year after year when we said, you know what, let's just put a curriculum so we ain't got to redesign it. And the curriculum turned into the actual book that we put out for others, because others was asking us, you know, when we was out on the corner with the shirts on that you got on, folks started asking us, hey, is it possible for your pastor to come tell us how he did that? Because we want to do that, which in turn led to the book that you have now.
And for all of you church people out there, I recommend that y'all get with Dr. Anderson and try to figure out how you can do what you got to do with COVID or whatever, whatever. I'm sure you guys can get together and make this thing happen. You really need to go to that workshop. It is a blessing. Now, look. Okay. Y'all the new kids on the block. I know you come in, you want to save the world and all that kind of stuff. How did the community look at y'all? Did they look at y'all as like, oh, here goes another church. Here goes a blah, blah, blah. How did they interact with y'all?
Well, yes. There was some residue that wasn't nice based on, you know, if you're unchurched, you don't really you think there's a new pastor, but it's the same church. You don't realize that, no, it's a new church in this building. Mm-hmm. And so the previous church had a previous reputation that we're not going to deal with, but it wasn't one that embraced us in the community. So we had to go start from scratch, but we did. We took, you know, kids that was that come from parents that was incarcerated. We took them to a Phillies game. We went and we partnered with King High School and was Wessel Glen Charter, and we got in there. We started becoming a fabric of the community, not by walking around with our church jackets on, by jumping in on who was already doing something. There was a senior center already doing something. There was Stinton Family Manor, a homeless shelter, already doing something. So instead of us coming in and saying, hey, we're going to come in and look at us, it was like, no, we're going to come in. Who's already doing stuff? Let's give them the human resources they need to continue doing what they do. So we decided to become a fabric of the community first, support what they're doing first. And we got some ideas. Yeah, we could do that. But let's start with just supporting what they're trying to do. Show them that we are there in support of them. And when we did that, that is what began making us become a fabric of the community. We joined in forces with those who are already fabric within the community.
So you added some special sauce up in there, because that's the fear, because everybody is so territorial in a community that nobody wants to kind of like, if I don't start it, I don't want to be a part of it. Yeah. And that's where we kind of like lose it sometimes. I mean, I'm out there in the streets, so I kind of like see some stuff. Anyway, Bernadette Runner, thank you for sharing. Okay, I know there's a lot of viewers behind the scenes, because a lot of people don't like to check in, and that's okay. It's good to see you, Khalees McGivney. It's good to see that you got my invitation. Sharon Harden, my Red Hatter. So I see 34 people. That means 34 people should have hit the share button, which means my friends ain't your friends, but your friends is going to see what's going on right now. So I expect to see 34 shares before the night is over. I know I'm demanding, but they can take a joke. They'll be all right. Now, let me see what's next. You're doing pretty good. You know what? Y'all mess around. I might sell this tape after this show. I might get $10-$15 off of this.
That's more crazy.
That's messed up. People are listening. All right, but look, check this out. We're going to talk about your book. Now, let's see. I want to be formatically correct. What prompted you and Dr. Canty to create this book?
Well, again, it was our love for the kingdom. See, our love for the kingdom is bigger than our love for our church. And so sometimes I think, as you said, we get so territorial and so get so caught up on growing what's happening and controlling what's happening inside the walls that we sometimes miss what God is doing outside our walls. And so it was writing a book was really about, not for us, because our church was already doing it. It was really, as I said, providing a tool for other churches. I don't want it to be the best kept secret that we have. I didn't want it to be a strategy that we just was employing and seeing success from. I wanted to help other churches know how they could get out and how they could become a part of a movement within their own communities, how they could go back and take the corners back, how they could go back and become a part of the fabric within the community. And you know, just reminding folks how much time Jesus actually spent out in the world as compared to in the church. And when we got to ask me why I'm not in church, we wear those shirts on Sunday mornings before we actually walk in the building. Our folks always go meet on their corners, and they're out there with these shirts on. Folks come up to them and they're like, well, why are you not in a church? And our folks are like, because we are the church, you know, and we're here for you. And all of the responses that they're prepared to give to people that they meet on the street. And I, you know, part of it was so that our folks would not have to approach people. When people see people coming, you know, you don't answer the door when you see the Jehovah's, you know, if you see somebody on the corner with a bean pile, you cross the street, you know, and you see two guys walking in them black suits with them white shirts, you're like, oh, here they come, and you walk away. And so, you know, part of just approaching people, people don't like you just coming up on them. But when they see your shirt, I mean, I wear my shirt, I got my hoodie, I'm in a market, you know, people are like, yo, why are you not in church? People ask you. And that was the point was for somebody to approach you and ask you something. Now you always got to be prepared for the reason, for the hope that you have. And so you be prepared with your answer, but the goal is for them to actually ask you something so you don't have to actually approach them.
Hey y'all, it works, because I was taking some stuff back to Kohl's and I had my shirt on, and the lady in front of me turned around, looked and asked me that question. I talked to her until they process her return too.
And the truth is, most people expecting a negative response. Yeah. They're expecting you to say, because I don't like it, because they hypocrites, because they're not expecting you to give them a loving response of I'm here to serve you. And we don't just wear the shirts on the corner. You know, part of our strategy is serving somewhere with the shirts on. So it's not just about standing there with it on. It's about being at the laundromat and having quarters for them. It's about being at a store and having bags or bagging it for them. It's about cleaning up the block. So everywhere you see our folks with the shirts on, they actually doing some service project for wherever they standing, which makes you say, wow, they serving us and they're not in church. I got to ask, you know, why? You know, why are y'all doing this and why y'all not in church? So
that is so good. Lee Hammond Craig, it is good to see you. Priscilla Bryant. That's a new name. Donna Rowland wants to know, are you able to connect with the other churches? Have you been able to connect with other churches?
Oh, absolutely. Well, again, those churches who have a kingdom mindset, like my friend over at New Life in Christ, you know, those who have a kingdom mindset, Calvary, we have several churches that have partnered with us in doing this. You know, I mean, until COVID came, I was looking for this summer, man, to have streets blanketed with folks as a universal movement of the church itself. So yes, we have partners, but yeah, like anything else, you also have haters. You have some that if they didn't come up with the idea, then the idea is not a good idea. So you have them both. It is what it is. But you know, we're not keeping it for ourselves. It's about the kingdom building.
Okay, you came up. God called you to come into the city. Were there any traditions or any habits that y'all had to stop doing and break as you transitioned into the city?
Yeah. One was the dress code. There was we wore suits all the time, ties and things of that nature, before we moved. And you know, folks still dress nice, but normally you'd be hard pressed to find a tie, probably in our building. They used to say whoever got on a tie, you could tell he the one that's preaching. You know, but then we got to the point where that wasn't even worth doing. So it'd be hard pressed to get a tie. So there was some change with the dress. There was some change in jargon. You know, there's a certain way that people talk when they're churched. You know, you're blessed by the best and sanctified and can't settle for less. And God is good all the time and all the time. You know, so there's some things that some church and ease that we speak that you had to kind of break free from. But I think most of it was being able to love those who may have been hurt, who may have been ostracized or may have been minimized based on their lifestyle, their sin. When we came in the city, one of the things we came, it was a Jesus mission. We come for the hurting. We come for the sick. And not that we didn't have that. Don't misunderstand me, up in the suburbs. But we needed to have a greater sensitivity. Where we were, if you were a couple, you were husband and wife. You know, when we came down to the city, a couple, you were shacked up. You're a couple, you could have been shacked up for a million years. And so you come into church and you living together. And so how do we deal with that? And, you know, I've had an opportunity to marry couples twice. I said, what are y'all waiting on? You know, I'll counsel them. And they say, well, we don't have the money yet to get, you know, to do the wedding. I said, well, the wedding is for the people, but the marriage is for the Lord. And so now that you say, if you want to honor the Lord. And so I would marry a couple and, you know, just before the, you know, before the Lord and on a Sunday or on New Year's Eve or whatever. And then they would have a wedding and we would marry them again, you know. And so people started changing their lives and started, you know, saying, hey, I want to do things in a godly way. And so we had to mold how we interacted. We had to have a much greater level of grace and sensitivity. And I think, you know, many times in church, we have levels of sin. You know, some sins is acceptable. Like, you can go ahead and gossip. You know, we ain't got no problem with that. And you can do gluttony. We ain't got no problem with that. You could be lying, you know. But if you're shacked up, or if you're gay, or if you smoke, or, you know, we got something else. These are the ones we don't like. And we got to realize that sin is sin, and the Lord can change it all, cleanse it all, love it all. And so it was really getting rid of the levels of sin and raising our level of love in order to really be able to love on that community, man.
Man, I'm about ready to give you a tithe and offering up in here, man. You preaching and everything, man. This
is pretty crazy.
I'm saying, if I had some money... Lord have mercy. Okay, now, this is good stuff. But wait a minute, let me go back to the scorecards. Pastor Williams out there in Jersey said, great kingdom work. Much respect to you, sir. Cindy Outlaw said, thank you for knowing your purpose and walking it out. May God continue to bless you as you bless others. Pastor Donna Rowland said, amen. Not sure what she said amen to, but I'm sure it's right on time. So now, let's see what's next. Boy, this is my plan. Amen. I'm gonna tell you something. God is amazing, because this COVID-19, I used to do something called Live from the Stair Steps. Okay. I would have.
I saw it.
You saw
it. Yeah, I saw it.
For about 5 years, you know, I was going after the superintendent, right?
Yeah.
We finally removed her. But this COVID-19 switched it up to now I can Zoom to your home, man, and bless people abroad. So, look, Rahm Emanuel said, never let a crisis go to waste, man. God turned the crisis of COVID-19 into an instrument that we can reach more people.
Amen. You doing it, man. I've been watching.
Man, this is stupid, man. God be knowing what he be doing. See, people play too much. But anyway, what have you found in your studies that most prevent churches from being more missional? What's our problem?
One is we more in love with, again, the church than the kingdom. And we get so caught up in tradition. We get so caught up in what we like to do and what our preferences are, that, you know, we hesitate when it comes to going out and reaching a loss. We hesitate with change. The church is tough to change when you have years and years and years of doing things a certain way. And so the resistance to missional is really the resistance to change, the resistance to care about somebody other than yourself. And one of the things I discovered, which is disappointing, is church people don't really like sinners. They like church people. You know, and they don't, they like being crowded, but they want to be crowded with church people. You know, when it comes to reaching the gangbanger or reaching the drug addict and reaching the homeless and reaching the homosexual or the transgender, to them, all of those people got leprosy. Like, they don't want them sitting next to them and in their building. And so church people like church people. Mm-hmm. And when you talk about being missional, you're talking about you have to love the unchurched. You got to actually love the people, you know, that he came for, the sick, you know, and you got to love them in such a way that you're willing to help them become whole. You help them become well. And that takes a whole lot of energy. That's say I might have to listen to music differently. That says I might have to give up my favorite seat. That, uh-huh. that says that, you know, I got to change, you know, possibly, you know, my ministry. And those are things that we hold on to, those sacred cows. We become idol worshipers even within the building.
Wow. Hey, y'all, look, I'm putting this on my YouTube channel, see, because, like, this ain't one and done. I'm going to give y'all the link to my YouTube channel. Y'all can hear this again and share it. Don't keep it to yourself. Stop being selfish. Stop playing. Y'all getting all this old good stuff, and then you're going to be walking around, yeah, I got this thing there. No. No, y'all gonna share this, but and it starts here and it starts now. Bam! All right, now where am I at? I done got all hyped up and everything. Pastor Marshall, you must have woke him up because all of a sudden he said, "Yeah, man."
That's my man. That's my man.
Welcome back there, Pastor Marshall. I know you was listening, though. I'm only playing. Ministering to each other. Donna Rowland said, "Donna, it's good to see that you're still with me." Her group will be on next week. The NAACP. Oh boy.
Okay.
I'm about to cook them a little bit. No, I'm only kidding. Where y'all been? No, I'm only kidding. I'm only playing.
Stop, man.
No, I'm only playing. But here we go. Ma'am, can you share a funny or insightful event as you became more missional? Tell us something funny that'll make us laugh.
You know what? We came down. We was like, you know what? We're going to love on these men in this community. We're going to have we came down in January, right before the Super Bowl, mm-hmm. and we bought this huge TV, and we opened up where we got a cafe, and we opened up the cafe, and we invited all the men in the community to come and get free pizza and free wings and come watch the football game with us in our new digs. And so it was our first year there. We opened it up. We got the TV, you know, and we invited men in, and some men came. And some men watched the ball game with us, and on Monday they broke into church and stole the TV. they said, thanks for that big screen TV y'all got. Broke into church and took the TV from us. So that was kind of funny. We took them for bad. We thought just being nice and inviting them in would be good. They'd be like, yo, they good people. They were like, wow. I'm coming back and getting that TV. And so, they came and got that. So
they call that the learning curve.
Yeah, it wasn't too funny at the time. But yeah. We can look back on it now and just laugh like, wow, who did we think we were leaving our door open saying, come on in.
Hey, Jay D'Angelo checked in. Jay, you know, I always like saying your name because it always sounds like you're some kind of rap singer or something. You know what I mean? I'd be looking for like maybe you putting out a DVD or something. I don't know. Anyway, Jay, it's good to see you. Linwood M. Smith Jr. Linwood, you're a minister or a preacher or something, but it's good to see you. Fushi, you know, I missed you the last couple of days. I'm glad you are on. I'm so glad you're on. Hey, look, but Fushi, you got to hit the share button, seriously. Minister Linwood, you have to hit the share button. It's a requirement. I mean, for this free counseling, you have to hit the share button. Jay, hit the share button and stop playing. Bam, who else I got? Cindy, did you hit the share button? I want to see about 37, 38 shares because that's my viewers. Those of you who are in the background, because I know it's a couple of hundred of y'all that don't like to sign in, hit the share button and I know you're out there. Bam. Now, what's next? What can we mess with next? So you already told us about the t-shirts. Okay. Where and how can people order them so they can look like me? Ask me why I'm not in church. So they can start a conversation.
Yeah, they can go. There's a website, askmewhyimnotinchurch.com. Askmewhy.com. Yeah, you can go in there, you get that, and get the shirt. So you can put that in there.
Type it in right now. Just say it slow. I want to type it in.
AskMeWhyChurch.com, I believe it
is. Okay.
It's like knowing your own phone number.
Yeah, you know? AskMeWhyChurch. Hey, look, I'm taking one for the team tonight, but y'all got me asking questions, typing and everything, because I want y'all to get this so y'all can stop playing. AskMeWhyChurch.com. All right, now, where are we? Okay, now the question was, you're going to continue to have workshops. Are you having workshops via Zoom, or are you just holding off until COVID is over? How's that working?
Well, we kind of held off. I think we always on this. Hey, when is COVID going in? But then my co-author, Dr. Kenny, had one last night with a group. So there's different ones, because if you go on to AskMeWhyChurch.com, well, you can request. You can request that if you want us to speak or you want us to come and do a presentation of the book, we can do it via Zoom. The reason we push pause is because you know, many people wasn't getting out into the community. It wasn't engaging since we've been in masks and things of that nature. So it kind of put a whole lot of things on hold. But, you know, the opportunities we have to share digitally, you know, and I keep telling folks, like, right now, people don't even got to get up and come in and walk in your building. You know, some of the things that scare people about coming to church is, one, they worried about if you're going to ask them for money. They worried about if you're going to stand up and make them speak. They tell you they don't have no church clothes. Like, all of those things that they got as barriers to keep them from coming. Mm-hmm. Right now, they're just seeing digital messages. So if there ever was a time to invite somebody to just hear the word of God in the most relaxed way that they can do from their own home, now is the time to do that. So I think we need to take advantage of technology and making sure we're reaching our unreached family members, folks in your own household, you know, your community members, and, you know, those obviously that you engage in your work in other places.
You know, I'd be wondering, with COVID and most churches closed, what are church people doing?
Mm.
Because it's not about the walls, it's not about the church. So what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
It's closed. I think it's just an excellent opportunity for you to look at yourself and say, "Yeah, I guess I got to go out and be the church."
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The building is closed, but I think if there ever was a time, you know, because the thing about it we in such a time where church has been by, if it's a good church, is based on how many people come in the building. Well, right now, there ain't nobody in the building. So now, you know, if you're good, based on if folks are still in the word, if folks are still growing, folks are still sharing the word, folks are still serving in different ways, folks are still giving. That's how you know if you've done a good job shepherding your folks. You know, are they still connected, even though they can't get inside the brick and mortar?
Hey, look, I got a question here from my man, Michael Rayner, one of my best customers when my store. He said, ask the pastor, how do you keep the congregation intact during these times of COVID? And has the church numbers decreased or increased or stayed the same?
Well, the way we stay connected is by, you know, everything is Zoom. You know, we have our teaching right now. We're going through a theology class, Theology 101, learning doctrine. And so we're doing that on Sundays at 10 a.m. And so we have, you know, a bunch of households, you know, represented there. We have our children church still that take place at 12 o'clock. We got our worship at 11. Our sermon is online. But we got small groups that's virtual, that's still taking place all over. And we still have ministry. We do a food distribution every Saturday. So there's still opportunity to outreach. I'm still working with Return to Citizens with CFR. So, I mean, everything is still flowing. I do weekly updates where I'll come in and I'll do a video and just communicate to the congregation, let them know what's going on. We do prayer 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. So corporate prayer together. So it's a matter of connecting. The brick and mortar is not what's keeping us apart, and it wasn't what's keeping us together. It's the blood of Christ. You know, that's what's keeping us together. Whether or not the numbers have increased or decreased, I haven't counted. We're not in the building, so I can't count heads like we could before. You could based on how many people show up. So you really don't know, but I do know that there's heavy engagement. There's constant visitors. And like anything else, there was those who were on the margins before, and they on the margins now.
Okay, we're coming down. We're coming down the pipe. We're almost at the finish line, but there's something I think we really need to address. And returning citizens, how important is that?
Well, for me, it's really important when you think about what the Lord talked about and the freedom for the prisoner set me oppressed free. There's something about, so, you know, the backgrounds represent the million hats that I wear and a million things that I do. When I'm on Zoom, I'm always switching. So I'm not trying to be fly, but when I switch my hat, it reminds me of who I'm speaking on behalf of. But, you know, we have a mass incarceration problem. I don't know a family that has not been impacted by the prison system. And when the goal is to enslave African-American men by locking them up, right? And then they get out and they locked out because they've been locked up. Mm. Somebody got to provide some level of freedom, some level of opportunity for this community, because they're returning back to the communities that they at once either terrorized or was a victim of. Mm-hmm. And they're coming back here, and they're coming back broken from you know, a PTSD that they got while they were behind bars, and they need somebody to love on them. I can't tell you how many men, because I administer to men, how many men have grown up fatherless, and because they were fatherless, they made decisions where they thought they were making decisions based on being a man, but they were really making decisions based on being an uninformed juvenile, right? And so being able to love them and embrace them and support them and hold them up so that they could come back and accept their rightful place as not a prisoner in a community, but a pillar of their community. They come back and, you know, because they locked up, they done left some children in the same position that they were in. And now they got to go learn how to be a father, how to properly love a woman, how to properly be a man and recognize that a man is not a man because of what he got between his legs or the gun that he hold in his hand or how well he hold his hand. A man is a man based on his commitment to being a strong individual who can make decisions for his own good and not be influenced by the culture around him to be able to make decisions as a child. And so you got to be able to stand up on your one, stand up on your manhood and be able to be that man that God created you to be, which was made in his image. And so, you know, to ignore returning citizens is to ignore a mass population that has already been ignored. And as our Lord said, he came for, you go to Luke 4, you'll see they're included in that. Hmm.
Good stuff, good stuff. I'm for the sake of just being honest, after you're off the show, and I'm gonna give it about a week, but I'm going to borrow that locked out because they were locked up. I'm going to give you the credit for it the first couple times, but after that, I'm gonna play like it's mine, okay? Locked out because they were locked up. I like that. Sissy Sharon DeShields, it's good to see you. Patrice Proctor, it is good to see you. You'll be able to see it on the repost, or I will put a link up to the YouTube channel. It is so good to see everybody this evening. And always, always at the end, I always like my guests to just speak to the viewers, anything that may be on your heart that you would like to share with them as we almost part, because I'll have the last word, but just something that you want to impart to our community.
I think we are so gifted and so called. And I think we need to be reminded that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and who called us. Romans 8:37, man. I think that, you know, sometimes we don't realize, you know, how much of a change agent we can be in our communities. We don't recognize we've been called for a time such as this. To be quite honest, I'm a kid from North Philadelphia. I've overachieved in many ways. And I say that because I ain't the most talented. I'm not the smartest. I'm not the most gifted in any way, shape, or form. I'm just a vessel who made myself available to the Lord. And I think if we recognize that God takes ordinary people to do extraordinary things, we can be used by God in that light. It's nothing special about Larry Anderson besides the God that he served. And that's the truth.
Good stuff, good stuff. That's a great way to end this session. Hey, look, everybody that's still on here, you know you're supposed to share this, right? Ain't no way in the world, because you ain't going to be able to explain this tomorrow. You're going to say, man, I was on that City Town Talk. Man, you should have heard that, brother, because he was like this. And you share, just share, because you ain't going to remember all this. Share. I appreciate y'all, all my viewers. You know how I feel about you, because I just love y'all. I guess that's that John 3:16 thing. I don't know. I love y'all.
Hey, let them know they can get the book on Amazon, too. I forgot to say that.
Amazon.com. Look up Ask Me Why I'm Not in Church.
Yeah.
It's not going to break the bank. And it'll add value to your ministry and to your life.
Yes, sir.
You understand what I'm saying? Like The Rock say, smell what I'm cooking? I love it too much wrestling. Hey, look, if nobody's told you that they love you today, man, Brother Fonz loves you. And I'm going to tell you, Dr. Anderson, it was worth the wait, man.
Man, thanks for having me, man. And I appreciate it, man.
This is even better than the workshop, because I had you all to myself. Although but I was uninterrupted, because, you know, we was down there. Everybody wanted a piece of you down at the workshop. And what did he say? And what happened? And some people got more questions than other people, because, you know, I was judging people. You know what I mean? But...
Stop, man.
I ain't that stupid. Tonight has been so fantastic. I'm grateful to you. I'm grateful to God for this format, this platform. And somebody said, thank you, Pastor. Let's see who said thank you. Sister Barbara Marshall, you stood at Barbara Marshall, said thank you, Pastor, and Fonz Nusswan. Pastor Marshall said, thank you, Dr. Anderson. God bless you and your church family. Bam. Pastor Dan said, well said. Oh, you said something right. We had to go back to the replay. No,
that's my mind.
All right. Look, we got to go and see the Sixers, man.
Right.
And the Kermatz, they're going to have to take him out the starting lineup or off the bench. We're going to get that other guy, Isaac Joe, to take some of his minutes. And with that being said, I'm going to wish everybody a good night. Remember that Coatesville is rising. Get in touch with Dr. Anderson. Get that book and get the shirt so people start asking you questions. Stop walking around being a secret agent. Put a shirt on. And they'll ask you, hey, God bless you. Have a good night, and we'll talk soon. Peace out. Bam.